Thunderdome. Are you ready?
Yo, what's going on? It's Wednesday, November 13th. I'm Jeff. This is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Get you set up here for week 11. 4 more weeks left in the fantasy football regular season for all the marbles, man. Just got to get to the dance. Hopefully you can win some championships from there. Got to get there, though. Right on through the finish line. So let's set you up with the latest from around the NFL. Before I get to that, of course, FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Go check out the site. It's awesome. Might as well get in on a subscription, which is also awesome. And the beauty to the subscription, you sign up today. Guess what? You get it through mid-November next year because it is a 365-day subscription, annual. So that means you sign up now, you don't have to worry about fantasy draft season because we got you covered. You get my draft board, you get the draft guide, you get obviously rankings and projections and tools galore with all sorts of proprietary stats, DVOA, you get all the rookie stuff. I mean, there's so much. I could sit here and list it, but then that would be the whole podcast. So just go sign up, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. All right, I want to rip through some news items that went down between yesterday and today. Of course, if you're not subscribed to my other podcast, it's called The Rant. Go subscribe to it. I do it 4 days a week. I only do this show once a week. Of course, Mike Randall also does this show as well once a week. But go subscribe to The Rant. Probably the biggest story today is the Colts deciding to go back to Anthony Richardson. So only a couple days after Shane Steichen basically assuring us that Joe Flacco would remain the starter, here we go again, back to Richardson. I guess this is okay. Obviously, if you spend some money on Joe Flacco, that didn't work out. That's going to be part of the process in FAB. You're not going to hit every single player you spend fab money on. So, but you got to keep taking those shots. Like, it's not a reason to not swing for the fences. And we saw what Flacco was last year. So if you took a shot, it's not the worst case. Obviously, he's not going to have super flex value if Richardson is in there as the starter. What have we gotten out of Richardson this season? And I think that's a really important question that we should provide some context to, because obviously coming into the season, we knew he was going to be volatile. We had barely seen like anything from him last year. We saw two full games and two games that he exited. So I can't call it four games. I could barely call it three games last year. This year, he comes out of the gate and it was not particularly good. Let me get you his fantasy finishes here. So Richardson, well, actually week one was good. He finished fourth, but then it got bad. 23, 31, 31, 22, 24. And then obviously has not played in the last two games. So what do we do from here? I think what he has shown us for a bulk of the season, what he's put on tape, what he has put on the board for fantasy purposes is what we should expect. In other words, expect him to be a fringe quarterback too. Does he still have a high ceiling? Yes. Does he have the lowest floor of any quarterback in fantasy? I mean, it's pretty darn close. I don't know if I'd go lowest, but it's pretty darn close. I mean, because Cooper Rush and a couple guys like that, but it's pretty darn close. So what do we do from here? Because somebody asked me, is he a league winner? And I mean, I'm not going to laugh because it was an honest question, but come on. Like, we know who he is right now, and I highly doubt that sitting out the last two games, all of a sudden things are going to click for him. So the expectations are there. Now, you could be in a situation, though, in Superflex where you need help at quarterback. Okay. Anthony Richardson could be that help. You could be in a situation where you need one quarterback league help. I don't think he's going to be that help. You know, this week, if I'm looking to streamers this week, certainly Bo Nix, Justin Herbert, Geno Smith. I actually have them in the reverse order here. I have Geno at 9, Herbert at 10, Bo Nix at 11, but they're all pretty closely bunched. Russell Wilson would be a better streamer. Heck, Drake May would be a better streamer. And I only have Drake May at 17 in my initial rankings. So I'm not running out to get him. If I'm desperate in Superflex and I need that help, okay. But otherwise, I don't see any reason to run out and get him. Maybe there's a possibility you could sell high on him, but you know, like in Superflex, that means he's my third quarterback, and I would only want a quarterback in return for him, so I don't even really see much of an advantage there. With trade deadlines rapidly approaching in a lot of leagues, does this help the cause for the pass catchers? No. I think Jonathan Taylor is going to be fine regardless, but I don't think this helps Josh Downs. Although he has some big play upside, we don't know if Michael Pittman's going to play. And, you know, really, we've seen the volatility of Alec Pierce, and A.D. Mitchell largely has that same volatility. So I don't think it helps. I will tell you one thing, though. Shane Steichen could be coaching for his job right now. You know, the team is 4-6, which doesn't sound good, but in the AFC especially, they're still very much in the wild card mix. Technically speaking, right now, they would be the 8th seed, which means they just missed the postseason, but they're right there. I mean, the Bengals are also in 4-6. Denver's 5-5, technically the last team in right now. So playoffs still very doable. If Steichen rights the ship, if Richardson performs well enough, if they get in the postseason, obviously he keeps his job. If they continue to lose, he could lose his job. And that kind of stinks because I really don't know if he's done the worst job. I do actually like his offensive scheming. But anyway, that's probably the biggest story today. I think there's going to be some overreactions out there to it. Just be careful because what we have seen out of Anthony Richardson is what we really should be believing here. Another quarterback item, Doug Peterson telling us that Trevor Lawrence will be out this week and it will be Mac Jones. Fire up Detroit's defense. I think, you know, largely Brian Thomas Jr. can still be used, but are we as excited as we once were? No. I have him down in flex territory. So at wide receiver 38, I fully expected no Trevor Lawrence, by the way, so this is not a surprise. But and largely that's because their bye week is next week. But yeah, it's tough to use Brian Thomas. I actually don't mind Evan Ingram. Evan Ingram saw plenty of work, led the team in targets last week. He's still a top 10 option. But the other moving piece here that we have to wait for is Tank Bigsby. So Tank Bigsby suffered an ankle injury last week. I'm having a lot of people ask me if they should drop him. And I get the sense that that's because they just looked at the box score and saw that he didn't put up a good line and maybe missed the fact that he was actually hurt. Be careful there. Tank Bigsby is the better fantasy option when they're both healthy. Now, he might miss time. I don't know. I don't have a practice report from today yet. And we obviously have to go forward through the week. Final practice report is the only one that really matters, with the exception of concussions. But I think that would be a bit of a mistake to drop Tank Bigsby. I hope people in my league do that. But I did get that question. Anyway, no Trevor Lawrence. They'll head into their bye week next week. They're one of the 6 teams on bye for next week. Davante Adams did not practice today. Now, it's listed as 2 things: wrist injury and illness. Illness is technically listed first, so hopefully it's just that. But regarding Davante Adams, regarding Garrett Wilson, look to more than just this past week when evaluating players, because I've had some people saying, and this is like a classic fantasy manager thing to say, like, oh, he isn't getting it done. And it's like, well, he didn't get it done last week, but, you know, regarding Adams, but he did have double digit targets first and foremost. So I'll take that all day long. I'll take opportunities all day long. And then if we look to the week before, he had 7 for 91 and a touchdown. He very much got it done in that game. Back-to-back games with double-digit targets. So be careful in your evaluation. I'm getting the same thing with CeeDee Lamb, honestly. Oh, well, he didn't get it done. But he did have 6 targets. And he could have caught a touchdown if it wasn't for the stupid sun. And if he catches the touchdown, I'm sure you're not singing the same tune. The week before that, he had 12 targets. Now 8 for 47, whatever. The week before that, he had 17 targets. The week before that, he had 14 targets. So let's add all of that up. And, you know, I believe the technical number here is a buttload of targets over the last 4 weeks. I'll still take that. That isn't a he just isn't getting it done. I think we need to look to more than just the fantasy points these guys score, because fantasy points can lead us to a lot of untrue conclusions, if that makes sense. We're misled by just looking at fantasy points. So, and honestly, you could take advantage of that if you could get CeeDee Lamb super cheap, if you could get Davante Adams super cheap. But I don't know what those guys are worth in your leagues, because every league is going to be different when it comes to trades. Like, I wish somebody had said to me, well, are you going to have an article on like trade targets? And it's like, no, because I don't know the circumstances of each league. I don't know their trade tendencies. I don't know who's available. I don't know what teams these guys are on. I don't know what your needs are. Like, it's bad advice if I just blindly go in and say, go trade for CeeDee Lamb. I know that's what people want, but I think it's more about the how we trade as opposed to what we're doing. Like, I don't want to tell you what to do. I want to tell you how to do it. Or, well, not tell you, but explain how I do things. So hopefully that helps you out, if that makes sense. And with trades, I mean, I'm looking at a couple things. First and foremost, I want to buy low and sell high. How do I identify buy low guys? These are guys who, like, for example, Davante Adams last week, underperformed based on expectation, but I don't think that's a sustainable thing. I don't think he's always going to be bad, right? So he's a buy low option. Sell high options are the opposite, right? These are guys who are overperforming expectation. Now, a lot of fantasy managers will see somebody overperforming and think that that's the new normal for that player. But this is where we have to have honest evaluations of players. This is where we actually have to really say, well, this is the type of guy he is, and be committed to that. And then you can sell high. From there, you know, I always operate within the mindset of, I want to trade to make my team better. If the trade doesn't accomplish that, even if it's like, it doesn't make me better or worse, well, it didn't make me better, so I don't want to do the trade. I want to talk to people who I'm trading with, not just blindly send out offers, but actually say, hey, you interested in moving so-and-so, and then take it from there. And finally, I want to be very conscious of my depth. I don't care if you only start three guys or four guys. Like, you know, I can only start three receivers, Jeff. Why do you keep saying I need seven? Because you don't just start three. You start way more than three over the course of a season. And think about it this way. Like, instead of having guys who are bench guys on your bench, having starters on your bench is massive. Because you could have six teams on bye like next week, or even four on bye like this week. You could have situations where guys get hurt. And instead of scrambling to the waiver wire, now at the most important position, wide receiver, because you start more of them probably than any other position, unless you're in one of those traditional two running back, two wide out leagues. But those are kind of dinosaurs at this point. You can sustain anything. Wow. I mean, all seven in theory could get hurt, but or, you know, seven, eight, however many you're rostering. But I want to maintain those ratios. I don't want to sell off depth to upgrade perceived starters, because these guys aren't guaranteed to stay healthy. I don't want to have too many running backs, you know, that sort of thing. A lot of people are using bench spots on running backs and will never start for them. And we're not to the point where we're grabbing implied value, guys. That's not this time of the season. So a player like Blake Corum, if you have Kyren Williams, good. You have insurance. If you don't have Kyren Williams, why are you rostering Blake Corum? And I know you're going to say something like, well, what if Kyren gets hurt? Then I catch lightning in a bottle. And it's like, great. Good luck. Maybe occasionally that works out, but I bet it doesn't more often than it does. And in which case, you're just wasting a bench spot on a guy who's not going to play for you. And in the middle phase of the fantasy season, which we're still in, by the way, we're not in end game phase. In the middle phase, we need guys who can start for us, plain and simple. Or guys who have an upward pointing arrow, like Audric Estime last week, right? That's what we need. We don't need these guys who are handcuffs to players that we don't roster. All right, let me rip through a few other things. So we're keeping an eye on Buffalo, Amari Cooper, and Dalton Kincaid. So Cooper actually did get limited work in. We already know Keon Coleman's going to be out for this week. I don't know about Dalton Kincaid. I really don't. He didn't practice today, but that doesn't really mean anything. What means something is the final practice of the week. If we see three straight DNPs, I don't care if he's listed as questionable, he's not going to play. We could see DNP limited. We could see DNP limited full. We could see DNP limited. I mean, there's so many different ways we can go from here. But I have Dalton Kincaid. He has not been a great option, but he's also not been a terrible option. And at that position, I don't want to chase rankings. I don't want to chase points week in and week out. If I have a streamer quality guy on a roster, I typically just roll with him. You know, I don't like to overthink tight end. And I'm definitely not trying to squeeze every last point out of a lineup because I realize that's a pipe dream. I mean, you could chase points at tight end all day long, all season long, and never hit. So I just stick with a guy and go with him. If he plays, cool. If he doesn't play, what do we do from there? Well, I always say hope for the best, plan for the worst. And that does not mean freak out and get worried and, you know, obsess over it every single day. It means hope for the best, plan for the worst. So I had a situation in a Superflex. I'll tell you exactly what I did. I had an IR spot, and fortunately, Trevor Lawrence was declared out today. So already done. So I was able to move him to IR in a Superflex. My third quarterback right now is Will Levis. Yay. But I have Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold rocking in that league, so it's okay. But anyway, I wanted to make sure I at least had something. Now, tight end sucks on waivers. There's nothing out there, and there are a lot of guys in this league who are rostering too. I'm okay with that. I'm not typically going to roster two. But in this one instance, I did decide to roster two for now in case Dalton Kincaid can't go. The player I picked up was Will Disley. Not a great option, but a streamer, and was certainly the best available. Hunter Henry wasn't out there. Gesicki's not out there. Taysom Hill isn't out there. You know, all these guys who I could stream who are ahead of him in rankings. But I have Will Disley at 16. What does that mean? Well, it means that he's a streamer. And what am I hoping for? Well, I hope he scores a touchdown. But if not, get me like 8 points. You know, this is a half point PPR. Give me like 8 points. You give me 8 points, I'm okay. Because I do have an advantage on my opponent at wide receiver. I'm even at running back, and it looks like I have a moderate advantage at quarterback this week. All right, give me 8 points. If you get that, I'm good. You know, setting the bar super low. If you get me more than that, great. But I have a plan. If Kincaid doesn't go, then I go with Disley. If we get news that Kincaid is good to go, I'm going to drop Disley, and I'll likely add some sort of wide receiver, whoever's out there, who has a upward-pointing arrow who could potentially play for me. But that's where we are right now. That's how I'm navigating these waters. That's how I handle a situation like this, because I often get these types of questions dealing with these types of situations. One other note here that I wanted to get to was the mystery of Raheem Mostert. So I did get asked from a bunch of people, like, what happened to him this week? And I wasn't sure if there was some sort of injury, but apparently Mike McDaniel said, no, it was unique to the game plan. So what does that mean? It means that that was what they expected to do. It also means, though, that Raheem Mostert can't be trusted anywhere near starting lineups. He can't be. Right now, Raheem Mostert is essentially the handcuff to Devon Achane. And I realize that Jalen Wright, if Achane went down, Jalen Wright's role would increase as well, but the number one back would still be Mostert, based on everything we've seen so far this season. But that's all he is, which sucks, but it's not the timeshare we expected it to be. So I wanted to be clear on that so that people are aware, you know, you just can't trust this dude in starting lineups. All right, that's going to wrap things up for me. Remember, if you want all the updates, head over to ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Follow along with my other podcast, The Rant. We do that Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, every week, straight on through the season. And follow along with me on socials. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. All right, I will catch you on the flip next week for another edition. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.